Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Final Fantasy VII is over. It hasn't started. It's back. It's Zach. Hi, everybody. I am Brooklyn Zed, and I'm here once again with my co-host, Adam H., to talk about another story in the Final Fantasy saga that never ends. We are here talking Crisis Core Reunion, the remaster, I guess, of the Final Fantasy VII prologue prequel game. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing so good, Zed. We're back yet again. People said it could never happen. I heard the rumblings on the streets. No more was this podcast, but we're back. Did you miss me, Zed? You spent a little time off getting, you know, zombie mushroomed or whatever. I don't really know what happened in that game with Jess Sterling, and now you're back here.
Yeah, The Last of Us was lots of fun. It was also really stressful and sad.
Oh, no.
But the podcast was a good time. I've been playing Crisis Core concurrently with The Last of Us over at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. And it has been nice to have a game that is not so aggressive while fighting infected and being shot at by many different factions of people over in The Last of Us. But The Last of Us is done for now. I will say right up here at the top that Jess and I will be back playing part two of The Last of Us around the end of May, start of June, once some other TV podcasts have wrapped up. It's a very hot time for TV here on Post Show Recaps. So let me say also right off the bat that you can subscribe at patreon.com/postshowrecaps and join us in the Discord to talk about all of the TV, video games, movies going on here on the network. Any support is appreciated, but if you get to that $15 level, you get all the podcasts with no commercials. And as someone who listens to a lot of podcasts, that is like my favorite thing.
So you're not a commercials person. You've never visited the Chumba Casino.
No, I have heard that commercial on RHAP like 18 times in a row an ad break. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I have not gone to there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd maybe recommend it. You could win big. I've heard Miriam won big. Uh-huh. So it's huge. It's a big thing.
Not the voices of actual winners.
No.
But this is the voices of two actual winners here on the Final Fantasy podcast. Did you like that? That was
good. Are we winners though? I think so. We might.
Yeah.
Be. Okay.
Zach Fair, definitely a winner, or definitely a golden retriever disguised as a human being that we are playing as here in Final Fantasy.
Okay, I'm just going to say right off the rip here, I already like Zach more than Cloud. It did not take very long whatsoever for me to be like, oh my God, a personality. And it's not like necessarily that I enjoy the personality of Zach, but like, he has one, and I appreciate that. So, like, you know, there you go.
I honestly find him so annoying most of the time.
You don't like a golden retriever type energy?
As a dog, yes. As a human, I find it exhausting.
Oh, no, Zach.
he is so enthused. He has so many feelings all the time.
Wow, I did not peg you for this person who would be anti-feelings.
I'm not anti-feelings, but the level of enthusiasm I find difficult to relate to.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is not what I thought that you... I didn't anticipate you to like Zach very much, but I did not think it would be because he was like too emotionally expressive and communicative.
Go, go, go! Let's do it! Okay, I'm ready! I'm feeling pumped! Let's do some squats. I'm going.
Oh yeah. We love all those quotes from Zach, I guess. Or maybe we hate them. Oh my God.
I've spent a lot more time with Zach than you have at this point, to be fair.
It's true. Yeah. I've only had the pleasure of spending like an hour with him at this point. So that's about how long I have put into this game thus far was an hour. Before we even recorded a single moment of the podcast, I've spent over an hour of my life playing this game, which is, a lot, I think.
It does sound like a lot. I'm surprised it was that much time. That's not a read. I'm just surprised you invested that much time in it. This is something to talk about right here up at the top. I am nearly finished with Crisis Core. I am in the final chapter of the game as we speak. And still plenty of missions to do. I think I've completed 45% of the game according to like the trophy guide. But I have nearly finished the game. Adam has played the prologue in the first chapter. And there has been a lot of discourse among my Twitch followers as to what your playtime will be by the end of the game compared to mine.
Oh,
because I have been torturing myself with getting all of the trophies in all of the little side quests. And my not so hot take is that in this game, the mini games are not fun.
Oh, as opposed to all of the other games we've played and those mini games, which were exceptionally fun, right? I mean, truly, what could be more fun than you know, giving CPR to someone on the beach, right? Like, there's no way that things could be more fun than that. Or the little Fort Condor stupid thing. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've like gotten to play much of the mini games. We did have the one, I guess, mission. I still have a lot of confusion about some of the like mechanics and gameplay that I have been seeing over the course of that hour that I've played. But I do think like I sort of get the idea of the missions of, you know, things kind of being available that do seem like very side questy, like, okay, I'm going to press this button and then we're going to like go do a whole separate thing. And then once we beat it, we get like a little treat. We get a little treat for ourselves.
And there are so many of those.
Oh.
And you don't have to do almost any of them, I don't think. If you don't want to, you can just move on with your life. Of course, I'm not capable of doing that. And I notoriously, every time I start streaming, I'm like, I'm going to go play more story. But you save at a save point, and the save points are where you can access the mission. So I'm like, let's just press triangle and see what missions we can do first. Fast forward to an hour and a half later, I have not moved from that spot. I'm just clearing more and more missions. So I think I was like 15 hours into the game, still in like chapter 3, but I was level 20 something because I'd just been doing every mission that opened. And for the most part, I have been just like cakewalking through the actual game in terms of fights because I am so...
Is that fun for you though? Like, yes. Is that it's enjoyable? Like, be so far ahead, they're just like, whatever, these fights
are
nothing.
Yeah, let's just move on. I'm not... Okay. Listen, difficult combat is not what's interesting to me about this game, and I don't think the combat is especially difficult or especially, like, deeply strategic. I like the flexibility of the materia and equipment setups and the way that you can change what you have equipped pretty easily. But we're getting into like the nitty gritty very quickly here. Let's talk some overarching. What is this? Once upon a time, Josh Wigler and I did a little bonus FF7 episode where he watched a playthrough of Crisis Core. I watched a playthrough of Dirge of Cerberus. We talked about these two games that are tangential to Final Fantasy VII, along with, I think that's also when we talked about Advent Children, the sequel film. Crisis Core was originally, I believe, released for the PSP, the PlayStation Portable. That's certainly how our dear friend Mike Edwards has talked about playing it when he was in high school. And it follows the story of our friend Zack Fair. Zack, who gets mentioned in the original Final Fantasy VII as the actual member of Soldier, all caps Soldier, whose identity Cloud assumes and whose backstory is what he's telling to Tifa and to his friends. And Tifa's like, this doesn't check out. Like, you were there, but that's not who you were. Spoilers for Final Fantasy VII, I guess. But what are you doing here?
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to any of our coverage of Final Fantasy VII in the four times I've talked about it in the last 2 years. So we're going to follow the prequel to Final Fantasy VII. And I will say that has been kind of the big joy for me of this game, is when we get into the parts where the story overlaps with what we've already seen in Final Fantasy VII. It's very cool to see it from this other perspective, to have more information, to get to like interact with these characters that we already know, but in a different way. But you're not there yet. You're here being Zack in his earliest days of Soldier right now.
Very early days. I mean, we're still going through training. We're not even first class at this point. We're second class Zack, and you know, we're out there. We're being put on some important missions. We're headed off to Wu Tai, like right off the bat. A lot of Wu Tai references here going on.
Yeah, you should love this. You get to fight Wu Tai a lot.
I don't know. I would be okay without a lot of Wu Tai in my life. You know, I fight them, not fight them. Let's just ignore them. Pretend they're not there. We also got there ridiculously easy. Whatever. We'll get to it. But like, it was so easy to transport to Wu Tai, which makes no sense. I had to go all the way across the world. I mean,
geographically,
geographically, this is ridiculous. We had to like fly over mountains. We were going across giant oceans in our little water plane.
Well,
like,
we didn't have the resources that Shinra had, remember?
Yeah.
Shinra did have to come steal the tiny Bronco because Lord knows they didn't have a fleet of helicopters and other vehicles.
Yeah, we saw so many options of travel here, and it just, whatever, it's fine. But I mean, good old Zack Flair, we're opening up. I will say, I love the opening sequence here again, just like I did in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Love
the
that
music
whole thing.
Is very evocative for sure.
It's really good as we're going throughout Midgar. And we open on basically the same thing, right? That we did in Final Fantasy VII Remake, of Zack going out, we're fighting a bunch of, all right, and you know, they do, you know, over exaggerate, all right, these aren't Shinra troops, they're actually Wu Tai in disguise or whatever. And we're going, okay, whatever, we're like fighting more Shinra troops as we're going along. And they hit us with a little bit of a fake out, a little bit of a psych right at the beginning of this, because after our, you know, first encounter, or whatever. It was a joke. It was a trick. It was a trap. Not a trap. It really wasn't a trap, but it was a trick. And so all of the stuff that we, you know, were doing was just a simulation. Even the freaking what is it? What's the big creature with the horns?
The behemoth.
Behemoth. The Humith is a size, not a creature, but whatever. And
Final Fantasy, it is famously a creature that shows up in all the Final Fantasy
games. Was it in 7? Did I just miss it? Or I probably did.
You probably just missed it.
Yeah, okay, that tracks. And the fighting stuff was pretty easy at this point. And so just, you know, a little bit on the mechanics here as we go forward, because I have some questions. Easy enough to move around. The slash and hit is basically the same mechanics as 7, so nothing like crazy different there. Why are we playing slots the whole time? What are we doing up there at the Chumba Casino playing slots the whole time?
I believe you mean the gold saucer. I don't know. Listen, this is one thing I want to tell you right off the bat. The game is going to explain so many mechanics to you. At least 50% of which you have no control over. And that includes everything going on in the DMW, what does it stand for? Couldn't tell you. Up in the corner of the screen, where you're going to have little numbers flying by, little pictures of people that you know. Sometimes it'll be summons. To a very small degree, can you do anything about what's happening there? Yeah, so I don't worry about it.
So you just totally ignore it? I mean, I'm seeing like numbers flying around there. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, look, there's Sephiroth's face. And then sometimes the game will have the audacity to be like, all right, Adam slash Zach. I'm going to say Adam. I'm Zach in this situation. All right, Adam, you're being very emotional right now about Sephiroth, so he's going to come up more. And it's like,
emotions
what do you
are
mean?
Heightened.
Yeah. What do you mean my emotions are heightened? How about I tell you if my emotions are heightened? You don't need to tell me if we're, you know, sliding through a bunch of these pictures here. So we're just like playing slots up in the upper left. And I guess like, from what I've garnered thus far, if they match in some capacity, we get a little bonus. We get a little treat of some kind.
Yeah, it will trigger limit breaks. It will trigger summons. When all the numbers line up a certain way, your materia levels up, you level up. But literally, your leveling up in this game is extremely arbitrary, which is really wild to me. It just happens whenever the numbers line up correctly.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's pretty dumb. No, like that.
It makes no sense to me. And so I definitely reached a point in the game where I was like, okay, is this something a mechanic that I can manipulate to my advantage? Then I want to understand how it works. If it's not, you're just giving me information that is not actively useful to me, and I'm not trying to figure this out.
It's also distracting, as it's like all up there. It doesn't stop spinning. It's like,
yeah, unless you fight an enemy who scrambles it and makes it like deactivate for the fight. That happens.
Well, who cares? Like, I don't even know what's going on up there. They could be, it doesn't even make a difference, really. I don't know. Especially as like, you know, if you've listened to our previous coverage of one of the many Final Fantasy podcasts, you know that I enjoy going to Vegas. I like gambling. And so I see a slot up there in the top left. I'm like, ooh, what's this? And then it just is so distracting, because then it's like, oh, Adam, you're being murdered on the other end by, you know, friggin' fire thing. So I'm either way out on this or way into this. Either way, it's like not good. And so I'm not a fan of that mechanic, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
The faces are dumb. Just give me the numbers. Why are the faces there? It's like a combination of slots and Guess Who. Like, I don't understand why there's a bunch of faces rolling around up there.
The numbers make different things happen, and I think the faces also make different things happen. So it depends on the combination of the numbers on the faces. I really don't know.
That's so dumb. Okay.
Mike is going to spend so much time explaining this to you in the Discord.
No, wait, no. We need to stop that before it happens. This is a direct message to Mike right now. I am not going to read all of the explanation. I'm just telling you, before you spend your time doing it, I'm just not going to read it. Because I'm sure they explain it in game, right? Like, I'm sure there's a way for me look at a control and be like, oh, especially in my convenient mail that I have on me at all times.
Oh yeah.
Never heard of a mailbox. Don't know her.
So much mail on this flip phone.
Yeah. On this handheld. We love mail. Big proponent of mail. So anyway, that's my overall thought on the battle. And then I do like the materia changes in terms of how I can use them. Doing like alt 1, 2, 3, 4, like mid combat feels a lot better than having to like, you know, use my I forget what they actually called it in 7. Has it really been that
the
long?
ATB bar?
Yeah, I hate that ATB bar. That was honestly kind of dumb. And I like the idea that like I can use it until I don't have any more of those resources available, but it's very easy to access. I don't have to like pause the game to do it, which feels good. Although I kept getting interrupted multiple times while trying to shoot ice at Ifrit or whatever. And so that was frustrating. But I like the general consensus of like being able to use it just mid combat instead of having to like, you know, pause down and stop. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else combat wise that's like worth talking about. I really don't think so. I think it was just kind of the main thing with the, you know, just normal traditional combat as well as, you know, being able to use that materia in that way that's a little bit more flexible. So that's probably it on the combat. And then we end. This is just the prologue. This isn't even the regular thing. This is just the prologue at this point. We end after this like big boss fight, and we are we meet our commanding
your
officer,
our mentor, Angeal.
You know, HBIC, Angeal. Welcome, Angeal. I'm gonna you know, eliminate the idea right at the very beginning. I don't have an attractiveness ranking yet for this particular portion of the game. Angeal is kind of ugly. I'm just gonna say it. I am so sorry, Angeal. I really, really do not like Angeal, but Angeal is the one that is training us. He's our mentor. Welcome to Angeal. And of course, we work for soldiers, so we're in the Shinra building. Is where we're
on the soldier floor.
Yeah, way easier to get in here this time than it was in 7. So
yeah,
you know,
no climbing 60 flights of stairs.
That's great. We didn't have to, you know, hip hop all over the place. And so then we go through all of our administrative nonsense, our, you know, seemingly first day of work stuff, which makes no sense because Zach has been working here forever. Why have we not been registered in anything before this? Whatever. We have to go register for missions because apparently we're new on the job. So we have to go register.
I think it might be that he's become like soldier second class rather than third class.
He was third before?
I don't know.
Do you think that the failed training got him to second class? Oh, also, I guess I should say, at the end of the training, Sephiroth comes in just casually. What up? What up, Sephiroth? Nice to see you.
Yeah, he's going to be around a lot, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, Sephiroth's just hanging out with us. He's just chilling. And he like basically stops us because we're not the hero yet. So, you know, a major upcoming arc for Zach, I suppose. But Sephiroth's here. He's involved, except not like really involved. It was just a hologram type situation. So whatever. Welcome to Sephiroth. We get our missions, we register for our missions, and as you know, we said before, whenever we're at a save point, we just get those missions. We can do missions, great. We only have one that we can do before. It's just like the basic whatever, kill a bunch of people, and then we're done. Did it easily.
Basic not training.
Hard. Yeah, not hard. Get it done. We get a little elixir or something, I think, and then great. There's also some like cubbies for us, which is pretty cute. And then we open those cubbies, we got a little bangle. Which, you know, this game loves bangles. That's a very common defensive.
Iron bangle, system. Diamond bangles, copper bangles.
Mm-hmm. Bronze bangles. Yeah. All the bangles. There we go. We got there. And so our biggest thing right now is that we are sent on a mission to Wutai. That's our job. We are going to Wutai because, there's a war.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the big Final Fantasy VII thing, right? Is there's just always been a war with Wutai.
A war with Wutai. Not sure why. Not sure what's going on. Not sure why sending a one young Zach Fair is going to help.
All by himself.
All by himself is going to help with this war. I guess it's going to. So I don't really know. And the person who talks to us about this is our, you know, fourth character we meet here, Lazard. Alan Lazard, shout out Green Bay Packers right there. I hate the Packers. But anyway, Alan Lazard is there. and he's the actual one in charge. He's just sitting at a comically large desk that is, you know, like a big projector screen up in front. And he's just sitting there. He's not like doing anything or typing anything. He's just like hanging out. right by us, right by the mission.
I think that's what bosses do, right? They don't actually do anything. They just sit at a big desk and like look at a screen and act like they're working.
I mean, I guess that's what I try to do, but I'm not a boss of anybody. So that's, you know, that's the tough part. Maybe one day. We all aspire to have a desk this big. I would love to have a desk this big. I have such a tiny desk and it's like actually kind of unfortunate. I have to have like a little side table for my second monitor.
Do you do concerts there like NPR?
No, I wish. One of these, I would love to be at a Tiny Desk concert. I've been like watching the Six Tiny Desk concert nonstop just because I've had that song stuck in my head because I did a parody of it on the Daisy Jones and the Six podcast with Sarah and Marissa the other week. So anyway, a little mid-pod plug right there.
That was so many things connected together.
Yeah, it's all like right there. Everything is connected, Zed. Just like Lazard is telling us that the Wutai stuff is connected. Whatever. We have to go to Wutai. And Gila is coming with. And then for whatever reason, Lazard is also coming with. So I guess we can't say that he's just like a boss that sits by and does nothing, because he does come. The underlying story here is that I forget the name of the first class guy who basically deserted Soldier and took a bunch of second and thirds with him. I don't know the names, but they're, you know, that's the whole thing, is that there's some evil stuff happening. There's some treachery, betrayal.
Yes.
Betrayal all over the place, but also specifically Wutai.
Yeah. Chapter one is called Embrace Your Dreams. Chapter two is called Betrayal.
Oh, wait, question mark? Like, we don't know.
Yeah,
like,
with a question mark at the end.
Okay, Betrayal? We'll find out, I guess, in chapter two. I didn't get that far. So we're into Wutai. We get more battles coming up just against random Wutai people who just appear out of nowhere. So I will say, I am not a huge fan of how we get in and out of combat.
Activating combat mode.
I don't need to hear that ever. Like, that is so dumb.
Well, get ready for the next many weeks.
I know, Zed, but like, they also just pop out of nowhere, and it's not like we can see them upcoming. I did like that about Seven, because you can see them coming. You can kind of like mentally prepare yourself as like, okay, I'm you know, get in position. I'll sit up a little bit. Usually my hands have gotten pretty lazy on the keyboard and the mouse up at this point, and so now, you know, they're combat activated. And it just is terrible, and they just appear out of nowhere. Even when you're like with other people, like there were multiple times where I was with Angeal, and they're like, he just kind of effed off.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all right, Adam, deal with this. It's like, all right, whatever. So we get to Wutai. We are, you know, killing people left and right over and over and over and over and over again, just all throughout the city. Kind of feels bad for them. Then we get to a mountain of some kind, Mount Ramblin, Tamblin.
Tamblin?
Whatever. What if it was Ramblin', though? That would be pretty cool. That'd be a lot.
Yeah, it's Mount Tamblin, and then we're going into Fort Tamblin.
Is that like a name? Is that from something? Like, are we?
I don't think so.
Was that in Seven? I don't remember that being in Seven.
No, only okay. Fort Condor. No Fort Tamblin.
Is Fort Tamblin better than Fort Condor? That's the question. I think so.
Fort Tamblin has like secret walls that turn around and stuff.
That's true, but Fort Condor has some really clunky ways to get on different floors. So I don't know.
Fort Condor has a place you can rest in it, and
that's
stores.
That's true. I suppose Fort Tamblin does too, if you just kill everyone and then take a nap. Uh-huh. Anyway, we get to Fort Tamblin, and we're just killing people. Like that's I mean, that's literally it. The whole objective here is we kill a ton of people, infiltrate, and then kill more people. On the outside, we had to kill like 45 friggin' guards and then shoot fire at a bunch of them up on the roof or whatever. I don't know why they needed to spawn so many people. Whatever. We killed a bunch of them, just so many of them. I felt like I never stopped hacking and slashing. And then once we got inside, they were like, all right, Adam, Zach, Zadam. Could we do Zadam? Is that, I mean,
Zadam and Zed?
Zadam and Zed.
I don't change.
There we go. All right, they were like, all right, Zadam, you have to kill all of the people in here. Make sure you look around secret corners and be observant. Don't miss anything. They're hiding, even though they're all going to come out.
No, they're
kill you.
Really not hiding.
They're not even remotely hiding, but you have to get them all and be careful about it. So go. And that was it. That was the whole thing. We are trying to provide a distraction so Question mark. I didn't really get the point of the distraction. Someone was doing something, blowing something up. I don't even know why we're here. Like, are we trying to take something? Are we trying to kill people? I know there was the betrayal and treachery, but like, are they here? Is that the, I don't know. I couldn't tell why we were here.
Yeah. I am often not totally sure in this game why I'm doing things. But we're just part of the battle against Wutai for Midgar. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
And eventually you're going to fight the enemies Wu and Tai.
Oh! Wait, did that happen?
How to beat Vajradhara Wu and Vajradhara Tai. That's the boss fight.
Were those things in the big tent? So
probably.
What was happening? Anyway.
And this is where you're going to get... the summon Ifrit, I believe.
Oh.
No? Did that not happen for you?
I mean, okay, hold on. Let's just keep going through it here and see if I missed anything.
Okay.
Okay, so we keep traversing through Wutai. We're in corridors, we're in hallways, doors are switching around, and we get kind of nearest to the end. And who should we meet? Who should we meet? In the middle of a war zone, while we're casually walking to fight bosses and murder hundreds, Yuffie is here! out of nowhere!
This is where she's from!
But she's a child, Zed.
Correct, she is a child.
A child! Which, also, the timeline of this is a little confusing to me, but whatever. That part like doesn't super matter.
Five years later, she'll be an adult.
Yeah, that doesn't track. okay. She's a child. She just comes up here and she like does some like fake sword swinging. Why did we not just drop her like right away? Like, she just came out of nowhere in a war zone. She's from Wutai. I guess like we don't kill kids here, which is a good thing in practice. But like, oh my goodness, why is she out just like roaming around in the middle of Wutai? And like Zach is like. What's the word for flirting with a child that's not like romantic?
Oh,
flirting? No. It's not like actually, it's like he's being very playful with her in this moment, which is like so out of character. I guess I shouldn't say out of character.
Not for Zach.
I have no idea what his character is at this point, but like it makes no sense for like, oh, okay, let's kill like four guys right over here and then walk like a couple feet over here and then talk to this kid and be like playful. Whatever. Welcome to the game. Yuffie, I really hope that you're not here for very long. Plus, you're a child, so I really would doubt that you're here for very long regardless. I don't know how long we're going to spend in Wutai, but I hope it's not that long. Okay, Yuffie's here. Great. Then we go inside this big area. The central area is what they call it here. Very creative name. Like, they really did a good number of this.
Listen, if I understand where I am, I'm good to go. It doesn't need to be something fancy.
Well, I didn't understand it when at the beginning of this, I got a call on my handheld because we are very accessible communicatively. And they were like, go to the central area. I was like, what? What do you mean, go to the central area?
The area that's central. Go there.
But Zach seemed to fully understand where the central area was. He was like, got it, boss. You got it. Anyway, good for you, Zadam. And we go inside. And is this where this is the Wutai fight happens in the central area? They're like the big things with chains where they like, you know, gearing up for some big stuff there. Okay, I didn't even realize that this was called like a Wutai situation. Like, I thought this was just like a random boss fight that would happen. You know, in the middle of Wutai.
Vajrahada Wu and Vajrahada Tai.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, yeah. It sucks for them because I guess we just murdered Wutai. Is that, I mean, depending on how we want to look at it, they also introduced a new mechanic here where they are like charging up for abilities. And if I hit them enough times or hard enough while they are charging up for their ability does less damage or hypothetically does not go off. So,
correct.
Interesting mechanic. I don't know if I'm like in love with it at this point. I like the idea of like being able to weaken an ability or something like that, but also you don't have the ability to dodge what happens afterwards because the amount of cutscenes mid combat is a bit much.
Yeah, after a while, I started skipping them. I want to see them like the first time.
Yeah.
And then I'm moving on.
I think I skipped five or six of them in the street fight later that we'll talk about. So I was already done. I don't need to see the same thing 12 times. So whatever. They do that. My strategy here was just to focus one completely and kill it and then do the other one. I didn't like try and do them both simultaneously. It was just one at a time. Didn't use a ton of materia either. They also, I do like, instead of little old Chadley giving us our assess materia, they just tell us straight up, hey, this boss is, resistant or vulnerable rather to a specific type of, magic damage. And so, you know, good for them. I don't suspect we'll see Chadley this game. So rip to him, I suppose. Or maybe he's not born yet. He was pretty young.
He's not born yet. Yeah. Not a created hologram yet.
You're telling me Chadley's not real? What?
Or is he?
Wait a minute. What are you? What? You're telling me Chadley is fake?
I forgot you didn't complete the thing, so you didn't get the scene. Oh, God.
This whole time, I thought this was like a real dude. You're telling me?
He's not.
Oh my God. I don't want to hear any more flack for me not loving Chadley. You're telling me?
I love Chadley so much.
Unbelievable. Chadley's not even real.
I mean, he is real.
Oh,
clearly.
Oh my God. You gotta be kidding me.
I don't feel bad about spoiling you. You were never gonna accomplish all of the things that had to be done to get that cutscene.
No, absolutely not. I might go watch a video of it later though, because this is devastating news.
You need to go learn about that. But,
oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, here when you're fighting, if they have a weakness, they just put a little elemental icon next to the name of the enemy, and you know that's what you fight it with. And if you die, you can restart the battle, and they'll even let you check your equipment first so that you can change it, so that if you have perhaps learned about a weakness, you can exploit it on your second attempt.
Yeah, which we love to see. I think that's I like that system. So boss fight happens, great. We defeat the bosses, but also we somehow lose. So I don't really know how that happens, but we totally defeated both of the bosses. And then they just came back to life and were about to murder us in a cutscene that I couldn't control. And then Angeal came in and saved the day by one-shotting them with his sword. So not sure where he was the whole time, if he has that kind of power and ability, but I guess thanks for showing up after we already beat them. So good for him. Good for Angeal, I suppose.
We should also note, as you mentioned, Angeal's sword, that Zach does not yet have the Buster Sword.
No.
He has just a different regular long sword with sort of a gladius cross guard. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I don't know what it is, but it's not the Buster Sword.
I don't even
know
what those two words are. So anyway, he's got a sword. That's how, you know, that's as far in detail as I can even go. And so great, Angeal's there to save the day. And then we meet Lazard yet again. Zach is so proud of himself after he kills him too. He's just like, you see that, Lazard? I did it. Like, he really is, getting into himself there, which is, good for him. We love that kind of self-confidence. I aspire to that level of self-confidence for Zach, I guess. Maybe that needs to be part of the Zadum profile. Like, we can, figure that out there. Anyway, we're meeting with Lazard. We go back and we're kind of like running him along a trail to get to safety. Also, again, randomly, there's more Wu-Tai people just like out there trying to kill us again. Or are they Wu-Tai people? I don't know. Anyway,
there's a really ridiculous side quest later that I would almost guarantee you won't do, where you have to go find these Wu-Tai people who are disguised as like Midgar residents. And when you find one and they go, I've been found out, or like I've been made, they run, and usually they run like behind a car. And when they come out from behind the car without slowing momentum at all, they've completely changed their outfit into like a Wu-Tai like fighter costume. And it just made me laugh so hard every time.
Nice. So we're fighting more Wu-Tai people on our way to save Lazard. great. Okay. Angeal decides, okay, I'm going to take this group. You go on ahead with Lazard. Don't even worry about it. Don't worry about me. You just go on ahead. It'll be fine. Even though you're going to come back for me, it'll be fine. Just go. We don't need you. We don't need you anymore, Adam. Get out of here. Whatever. We go. We take Lazard. And then there's just some random Shinra troops not that far ahead. We're just like, all right, well, you guys got it from here, right? Even though I'm like specifically designed to be yours, like, you know, bodyguard for this very purpose. You like random Shinra troops that we can absolutely murk in 0 seconds. You guys are probably fine to watch Lazard. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that tracks. Let me go back for Angeal because he's probably struggling with the three different Wutai people that were back there. Okay. And we head back and Angeal is just gone. He's out of there. He dipped. He was taken. He was murdered. I don't know. He's gone. Nowhere to be found. But you know who is there? Ifrit.
Yes.
Freaking the dragon fire thing. Ifrit. Who knows how this happened or what it's even going on here, but Ifrit is a summon, so, you know, relatively familiar with summons throughout, you know, the other Final Fantasy games at this point. I don't really understand how we got to fight Ifrit or, like, how that worked or why we were fighting Ifrit, but we were fighting Ifrit because we went into the Fire Realm, and then there you go.
I believe in the game, Zach says, a summon? Who called it out?
Yeah.
Zach's not sure how Ifrit got here.
Yeah. I really, honestly, I would have loved the line of just like yelling out, hey, who summoned this? Who did it? And, you know, we have no idea who did it at that point. But also, how did we get into the summoned? Like, it wasn't really summoned. Like, because it's not like we were fighting it in the forest there. If anything, it summoned us. So, anyway, we're fighting Ifrit. I died a lot of times on this fight. I did not do well on this fight whatsoever. It did way more damage than I wanted to, and I had not really gotten accustomed to the healing of it all. I kept hitting the wrong button, and so I would poison it instead of heal myself. And so, you know, just had to figure that out. But, you know, once I kind of got that down, it was decent. And then using the ice was big. That did a lot of work.
I will say one challenge of like the flexibility of the materia setup is that I do sometimes press the wrong button when I've moved materia around because it's not always, you're always using the same buttons, but what are attached to those buttons are not always the same thing.
Yeah.
So I've sort of like picked a slot that is always where my healing materia is and a slot where my like AP activated like sword mechanism goes. And then magic goes in the other spots, but it does change throughout the game. So I'm still pressing the wrong button sometimes.
Okay. That's comforting. So I'll still be making that mistake for the next however many months, right?
I mean, it's fortunately not that impactful. Like you get resources back really quickly in this game. The fact that anytime you stand on a save point, you're fully, all of your stats are fully healed makes things a lot easier. And you'll reach a point where as you're fighting, if you finish the fights in certain ways, it restores some of your stats as well.
Okay.
So I have found that resource management is not an issue in this game, which is a nice change for me from either FF7 Remake in hard mode or The Last of Us in general.
Okay, we love an easy game. That's huge for me. I love not having to worry about stuff like that.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless, gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, so there was that. We were fighting Ifrit in the Fire Realm, and then we just left. I don't think I actually got Ifrit as a summon, though, at this point. That you might, because I think you maybe said that earlier, and I don't think I currently have the ability to summon Ifrit. I don't know if that's, like, something else that has to happen.
So,
but
you don't get summon materia.
Oh.
It just goes into the DMW.
Oh,
and sometimes summon mode gets activated and then a summon will show up in the slot machine.
Oh, there's nothing that I love more in a game like this than a random chance dictating how well I do. That is excellent. No notes. So good. Amazing design. That's just impeccable.
Yeah, I mostly just, like, you can't rely on it, so I don't. And I would say largely when things come up to help you from the DMW, it's really gravy more than it is, because you can't count on it as a strategy, because you can't control what's going to show up there. So
I do love gravy. That's for sure. Because there were, like, a ton of times during that Ifrit fight where I don't even remember who, I think it was Sephiroth's face, where I kept getting Octo Slash, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, that's his limit break. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened like 5 times during the Ifrit fight of just, like, it just kept coming up at different levels that didn't, I don't even.
Yeah, and we can't control the levels either. And I couldn't tell you what determines what level it's going to show up as. What I will say is right now you're going to get more of the same things because you have limited DMW options. Like, you've only met a few people. That will expand over time into more varied results.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, good for us, I guess. And yeah, I don't currently have Ifrit, but I have to imagine that because we fought him, there's going to be a way to get him as a summons at some point. Or maybe I do, and I just don't know about
it. I think you have it.
Oh, okay. Great.
You can look in your game menu. I think it's in options. There is a DMW comes up in the menu, and it'll show you what pictures can come up in your menu and how many you're missing.
Okay, interesting. We've only met, like, a handful of characters, they've all been men up to this point, so that's great. We love to see 2 chapters full of just men.
I can only think of two women who are going to join the DMW. Three. Women who are going to join the DMW
out of, like,
20, 25, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's nice and balanced. Love to see it. That's just perfect. Okay, so then, just like before, just like in the Wutai fight, we won the fight. We did everything we needed to do to win
conflict
this fight.
Resolved.
We did it. We did everything. She even said conflict resolved, which is so annoying because the conflict
Where is this voice coming from?
Yeah, maybe this is our own internal voice. What if this is, like, Zadam's conscience? I don't know.
We're in a simulation within a simulation.
Oh, it's all a simulation.
Yeah.
What if at the end of the game, that's the twist. And, you know, that'd be a pretty big twist.
Like, wakes up and takes the helmet off. And...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he sees, you know, Cloud and Tifa and Barret knocking on the door to the training room and be like, all right, yeah. Get in. We're going. Okay. Yeah. So just like before, the conflict was completely resolved. And yet somehow Ifrit was still alive and woke back up and was about to kill us. And Sephiroth came in and saved the day. I'm just going to put it out there. It is not a great look to have our main character be able to defeat the first two major bosses and then basically have them lose and have to be saved by another character in the game back to back. Like, I don't understand why we're doing this consecutively with big boss fights. Like, give me the satisfaction of actually beating the boss and not have to be saved by friggin' Sephiroth, who I couldn't even tell you how we got into this summons world in the first place. Makes no sense. This felt like pretty bad at the end of chapter one to be like, okay, I didn't actually do anything. Like, I kind of got myself into a bad situation and then had to be saved twice in a row. Like, that's such a bad look. And I don't know. Like, I beat them both. Like, I did everything that you wanted me to do. And still, they were just fine. They just woke up and were about to kill me and then got one tapped by, you know, people coming to save me twice in a row. Like, maybe one time, okay, but do we really have to do it for both times, Ed?
Yeah, this is a frustration that Jess and I talked about, actually, with a section of The Last of Us, where, like, several times you had to get through waves of enemies, and you would finally do that, only to, like, walk out a door and be caught by somebody in a cutscene in a way that, like, there was no controlling it. That was just, like, the story was that you were going to get caught. And that is really frustrating when you've, like, accomplished this thing, especially if you've had to try it several times. And you do it, and then the game goes, okay, great. And then in the story, you fail, and someone has to come rescue you. It's like, well, then why did I just go through all of this if ultimately someone else was going to solve this problem?
Well, and they could have even done it, because I died multiple times in that Ifrit fight, like I said before. They could have just done it where, okay, the first time you're about to die in this fight, then you actually get saved, because then it actually feels like I got saved from something. Whereas right now, it feels like, okay, not only did I not really, like, accomplish the goal that was in front of me, but I also, like, I shouldn't have needed to get saved at that point. So maybe, like, right before I'm about to die, then Sephiroth can come in and actually save me in a situation where I need saving, as opposed to before when I got that health bar all the way down. So, you know, come at me, Ifrit. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, worst of both worlds. I had to do it over and over until I succeeded, and I
failed.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't even get to succeed, so that feels pretty bad. But Sephiroth is there. He's in the mix. He's involved. His picture, or, you know, looks slightly different than it did in 7. I can't place exactly what the difference is, but there's something different. He's not quite as mysterious, I think. He doesn't have that aura of, like, oh, what's going on with you? There's none of that going on, and I want there to be that going on, and so that's, you know, I'll do a deeper comparison of the pictures at some point, because there's something missing.
Yeah, well, I think part of the difference is he hasn't gained all of this knowledge and, like, self-importance, and, like, oh, I am Genova, I am the planet is me, like, ego that he has in Final Fantasy VII. We will get to see that happen in this game. But right now, he is, like, the best soldier first class. He's the one that everybody looks up to. But he is, you know, quote-unquote, just a soldier first class, not this, like, worldly being that I think he kind of elevates himself to a little later.
Yeah, he's very self-important, but also, like, he is very important, just giving the story of Final Fantasy VII. So, like, not trying to, like, take that away from him in any sense here, but, you know, he certainly has that ego on him. Okay, so we're also then able to just miraculously get ourselves out of the Fire Realm just easily, because we beat Ifrit somehow. Whatever, it's fine. We're out there, and Sephiroth is like, oh, where's Angeal? Zach, you know, I don't know. He's just back here. Zach.
People appear and disappear a lot in this game, so, like, it doesn't feel like something to be worried about yet.
Yeah, he's probably just fighting three more random people. You know, somebody in his head was probably combat mode activated, and that's where Angeal is. Okay, so I don't know, but he's gone, and Sephiroth is like, oh, he betrayed us. He's a traitor who betrays.
He's a traitor. Yes.
He's a traitor.
Betrayal?
Betrayal? Question mark. Angeal has betrayed us. And so again, we're kind of told about this nebulous idea of one of the other first class soldiers, you know, flipping and deserting on Shinra and Soldier and taking some second and third class. And apparently Angeal was part of the revolution. Zach is like, no, can't be. Angeal wouldn't do that. I know him. And Sephiroth is like, he's a traitor.
Yeah, Zach is very loyal. He will always believe the best in everyone. No one could possibly ever do anything bad. The end.
Yeah. And so we are more or less left at the end of this chapter being like, okay, where's Angeal, number one? And number two, is he a traitor who betrays?
That is what we will have to find out coming up in chapter two, Betrayal.
And so that, you know, basically that is more or less the end of the chapter, but they still do this stupid thing, which I hate so much, where they are putting us in a giant cutscene at the end of the chapter that puts us at the start of the next chapter. I just want to finish the chapter and be done. Don't they understand that this is how people podcast about these games? No. They don't. So I did see
they do
the cut
give you scene. The opportunity to save at the end of each chapter in this game, which is nice.
But once I get out of the save, it just goes on to the next screen.
Yes, that is also true.
So like, I don't
but you
okay.
could just turn it off and you'd be at the you would have
I guess
saved.
I could. Okay, maybe I'll do that next time. But I didn't do it
up
this
to
time.
You.
Anyway, we got just the last little bit here of the cutscene for the next chapter to kind of cue us up here. We're gonna obviously go looking for Angeal. He's very important, I guess. He's
our mentor.
Traitor. He's a betrayer. I don't know why it's very funny to me. So we're going to look for him, and also, you know who's coming with us? You know who's involved in the mix here? Our good old buddy Sang. Of the Turks.
Yes.
Which Here means there's a chance that we're going to get Rude involved. There's a chance. If we're seeing the Turks, I just have to imagine there's a world where we see Rude. And those glasses. Whew. It could happen. It could. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a possibility. So we're going to look for him. Also, we get like a million more missions. I saw like the thing flash up.
Yeah,
like
you go out, you step on the save point, and they're just like flying up the side of the screen. Like beep, 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 beep. Unlocked. New mission available.
Yeah. I am curious though. You said at the top of the podcast, there's some conversation about how many hours I will put into this game, plus how long it will take me. Do we have guesses? Is there a guess as to how many of these missions I'm going to complete? How many of them that I'm going to actually do?
I don't think I've been given any concrete guesses yet. I think here's what I will say. You don't have to do, I don't think you literally have to do any of them other than that like initial training mission that they have you do. Mm-hmm. But it is beneficial to do some. This is kind of how you grind in this game, because there's not nearly as much like open world wandering around random combat. There's a little bit of that, but this is sort of how you're gonna gain resources like materia and accessories and stuff, and be able to increase your stats so that fights will not be incredibly difficult forever. So do some, but like, you know, when you're like, okay, I'm bored, that's enough of that, then go ahead and move on. There are tons of like side quests also in the game, but again, how much of that you want to do is up to you.
On the story, not like
on the story. If you look at the map, God bless a game that has a map. The Last of Us does not, and it was a challenge.
Yikes.
But if you look at the map and you see the little like reddish brown orange squares, we keep calling them triangles, but they're definitely like diamonds with exclamation points in them. That indicates like an additional content whether it's just like a conversation or it's a full on side quest, or you talk to them and that will unlock some more missions. But always helps to be kind of checking for those things along the way, because it can gain you some good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see. I think everyone kind of knows how I traditionally play games, and it is not to complete everything to 100%. It's about the story, baby. So, you know, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. And that's, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do, but, you know.
No, you will enjoy this game a lot more than I am, because I am making myself miserable getting these trophies, and I wish I could stop.
That does not seem fun to me, so.
It's not.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you're willing to admit it,
I'm well aware. I sit on the stream on Twitch, and I'm like, you guys, this is not a good time. But at least I have people there with me in solidarity as I'm yelling at robots and trying to collect materia on the ground in 15 seconds and do various other silly things that you won't do.
Okay.
I mean, a bunch of these mini games you'll have to do one time, but you can do them once and move on with your life. And and not have
why
to do
why would you do them more than once?
To get the trophies.
And the trophies, they're like a...
It's just a completionist urge in me, Adam. Oh, and knowing that they're not completed bothers me.
Yeah, I can't relate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You are very blessed to not be afflicted with the completionist curse.
Yeah, happy to just, you know, move right along, pretend it's not there. So.
The great Mike Edwards, who is always in my streams helping me out with trophy guidance, says when he played this game originally as a kid, he was not trophy hunting, he just played it, and it was much more enjoyable than now as an adult trying to get all the trophies.
Huh, okay, well.
So we're aware of what we're doing to ourselves, but, you know.
It might be worse, though, Zed. Being aware and then still doing it, that's,
listen,
I don't know.
I didn't say it was healthy.
Oh, okay. All right, good. As long as we're not lying.
But I think you'll have a good time. I know that I find the combat, like activating combat mode, a little clunky, and I think you do as well. But I think you will like the way the game controls, and the story is wild. It's like all over the place. The dialogue is nuts. Once we get into like really into the meat of the game, I think actually the back half of the game is stronger than the front half story-wise, especially as the timeline starts to overlap with what we've seen in the original FF7. So it'll be pretty cool, and the music is fun, and I know you like that. So we shall see what you think in terms of this game compared to the other Final Fantasy VIIs you have played. But there's a lot coming. Did I decide how far you should play for next week? Nope, didn't do that. So we'll discuss that offline. And I will post it in the Post Show Recaps Discord if anybody wants to be playing along. This is available on Steam, which is how Adam is playing it, and on PlayStation, which is how I am playing it. If you still have a PSP kicking around out there, that's where it came from originally. I think the remaster is really great, though. The graphics are beautiful. It's, I believe, the same voice actors, so it very much feels like the same world as Remake, which is really cool. And we're gonna get into it. It's neat because I think not a lot of people played this game when it originally came out, but FF7 is so beloved that now that the remaster is here, people are really excited about it and talking about it a lot. So I'm glad that we get to cover it, and I'm definitely glad that we get to be chatting again.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about you. You get a fun little foray over there with Jess in the mushroom fields, but I definitely missed the weekly conversations about the ridiculousness that is these video games.
Don't say that, because that makes it sound like we should cover Final Fantasy VIII.
I have no idea people what that
want
means,
it.
But
people
listen,
want it.
Ted, sometimes you have to give the people what they want, you know? That's that's what I've learned in my time. Okay. Do people really want it, though? That's the, you know.
They do. They really, really
they
do.
They really do? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well.
We'll get there. We are just at the start of our Crisis Core journey here. We will play a couple more chapters for next week. Maybe 2 through 4 is my guess, but we will see. I'm going to take a quick look at the story beats of where all of that ends. But that's what we have got for you this week here on Final Fantasy VII Continues Forever. Final Fantasy Forever. I think that's that's podcast. Survivor Fiji Forever. Final Fantasy Forever. Adam, you're a busy boy. What else are you doing?
You can find me on Twitter at PianoManAdam1. Also over at One Describable Podcast. Myself, Todd, and Lindy are talking through Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. We're almost at the end of season one for that, so that's very exciting. And then we are doing a second show over there at One Describable Podcast. We're doing Up Here, the new show that just released on Hulu, the May Women show. It's a musical TV show, so right up our alley, so go check that out. That's One CXG Podcast on Twitter. I'm also talking about How I Met Your Father with the amazing Sarah Ferguson, also on post show recaps. We are into the season two coverage. There's going to be kind of the mid season two finale that we're going to talk about this upcoming week. So go check that out. And then Talk to Your Podcast, Kevin Madeo and Melissa Woodward. We took this week off, a little bit of a hiatus, but we will be back very, very soon in the main feed over there talking about Doctor Who. And then, of course, right back here where next week. We'll see how many side quests I do. We'll see how many missions I do. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a lot, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a lot either. I'll be very curious. I'm deep in it. I've completed something like 45% of the missions, I think.
That is so, like, that makes me so nervous then. Because, like, I know how much of it you complete. And I know how much time, like, you spend on it. And if you're not even halfway through.
Yeah, I believe in total, there are 300 missions.
No.
It's a no from me, Doug.
Okay,
yeah,
over,
I know.
Under 31 missions that I'll complete. Over 10%.
Over. I think over.
You think it'll be more
than
10? Okay.
They're not long. They're not long.
It's not a length thing, though. It's like, how many times am I going to hit the button of like, yes, I want to start this mission.
Yeah, see, that I don't know because I always hit the yes.
See, and I, like, that is, it doesn't even matter how long it actually takes in practice, but like the mental hurdle that I will have to jump over to be like, yeah, all right, Adam, I can, I'll hit this. I'll do another mission. Why not?
This is what's really interesting about us talking about these games together, because our play styles are so different.
Yeah. It would just take so much for me mentally to be like, yeah, I'll go ahead and do the next 280 missions. Like, of course that'll be what happens.
Oh my goodness. All right. So that's what Adam is up to. Lots of podcasting, very little side questing. You can find me at Hard Rock Hope on Twitter and at twitch.tv/hardrockhope on Twitch, playing Final Fantasy 4 on Fridays right after we get off of this podcast. But probably wrapping up Final Fantasy 4 today, I think. I'm playing Far Cry on Mondays in the Last of Us slot, trying to keep some action games going over there on the channel. And still finishing up Crisis Core. So if you want to jump ahead to the end of the game, that's what I am doing over there. Other than that, I am podcasting about the Apple TV Plus show Extrapolations with the great DJ LaBelle Klein, a.k.a. Troy, talking about climate change, yelling about politics. Meryl Streep voices a humpback whale. It's worth a watch. It's a wild TV show. I don't know what's going on over there either. But Troy and I are breaking it all down. We're laughing a lot, in addition to yelling about some serious topics. So worth checking out the podcast, I think, even if you don't have Apple TV or aren't interested in watching the show. I think it's fun to listen to me and Troy chat for an hour. That's about it for me right now, I think. You can once again subscribe to the podcast at patreon.com/just go to post show recaps if you want to subscribe to the Final Fantasy feed. But of course this also drops in the main post show recaps feed, and you can support the podcast at patreon.com/post show recaps. Until then, take care, everybody. Get pumped, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.